This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Though we have a clip, you want to set it up for us?
I'd like to, but I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, we'll just roll it.
And now, the whole show's clip of the day.
This is a fun clip here. We won't play the whole thing because it doesn't really pertain to us, I don't think, Michael, for the most part. Not that we're... We might have listeners interested in Georgia. We might, as far as the football team. But two former Rams met up yesterday, and this was a really cool moment. Big Hub, who's a regular texter, he's a Hall of Famer. He is Ellison Hubbard. He played for the Colorado State Rams, and he was our very first player radio show that we did here at the station when this first became a thing. He has continued to be one of my good friends. Love the dude. He's awesome. And he supports us. We're absolutely supporting him. Excited for his broadcast journey. I know we've tried to find ways to make sense for him to move all the way back here to Colorado, but he's doing some good things. So he catches up with his old coach, Mike Bobo, who was the head coach for Colorado State between 2015 and 2019. And that's a good portion of when Big Hub played at CSU. Well, Big Hub now in the reporter role, as he's furthering his media career, was there in attendance while Coach Mike Bobo was at the podium getting ready to talk about Georgia. I'm just going to play a little bit of that initial interaction. And Big Hub just kept it freaking serious, man. Way to go. Here we go.
Coach, with this tough schedule.
I know this is
going to be a tough schedule this year, and you're a quarterback guy. Do you think you'll have a chance to play another quarterback just to kind of give Gunner some rest this season?
Well, those opportunities are happening.
Yeah, it was good. It was a good question, too, by Big Hub. What did he say? It sounded like he said a different name at the end, but was he saying, like, great seeing you? Is that what that was? Mike Bobo just kind of had me reminiscing in my mind. Because we interviewed Mike Bobo a lot on this show. And I always liked him. I always thought he was a great dude. I feel like he had a bad run with CSU. And what I mean by that, he had some health stuff that took over. You know, his record overall as a head coach, 28-38. He went 7-6, which in the grand scheme of things for Colorado State, that was pretty damn good his first 3 years. And then it was his final 2 years that got bad. He was 3-9 in 2018 and 4-8 in 2019. And that was at the point where I believe, from what I've heard and followed along, that was Joe Parker as the AD, and I think it was more of a conversation of because remember, Coach Bobo started going through that stuff it's no shocker that in July 25th, he was going through this in 2019. Who knows if he was dealing with that in 2018? That's when things went south for him. Because I remember there was the conversation of 2019. Is he going to coach from the booth? I was at practices, Mike, and there he's carting around on a golf cart. You know, he's not walking up and down the field because he had this nerve neuropathy that derailed his 2018 season, and then he was still trying to recover from it going into the 2019 season.
You know, if Coach Prime is ever experiencing, you know, people doubting him, maybe he can point to Coach Bobo and say, hey, I'm having health issues too.
Yep, yeah, health issues are a big deal. Mike, anyway, sidetrack. Mike Bobo had numbness and needling pain in both feet. He couldn't even, like, just for a coach, you know, just throw a football around. He couldn't grip a football over the winter. He couldn't shuffle a deck of cards. All those things. And it was, I mean, he was in the hospital for like 10 days. So I do think back to those. Because remember, I believe after the first three seasons, CSU gave him a contract extension. Now, again, 7-6. Bowl game, 7-6 bowl game, 7-6 bowl game. Now they lost. They lost the Arizona Bowl. They lost the famous Idaho Potato Bowl. They lost the New Mexico Bowl. And I also know there were some injuries with some of his key quarterbacks too. For Coach Bobo, a guy that, why am I blanking out on his name? Mike, Google CSU quarterback in 2018 for me, if you could. Why am I blanking out? That guy was good, but he couldn't stay healthy. But I just, that was a really cool moment for Big Hub, probably. I'm curious to know how that went, if you maybe caught up afterward or anything. Who was the guy?
KJ Carter Samuel.
No, different one.
That's what the internet says.
Colin something.
Oh, Colin Hill.
Yeah, Colin Hill.
I like KJ Carter Samuel better.
Colin Hill was good. I don't want to hear your toddler, I like this guy because he's, I'm obsessed with this team thing. I don't want to hear that. Colin Hill was good. Couldn't stay healthy. Now, I wonder how much of that kind of derailed Coach Bobo as well. But I will say, as a person and doing interviews, Coach Bobo, was he my favorite over McElwain? McElwain was good, Mike. We had a running joke. Every time I had Jim McElwain on, it was, hey, let's grab lunch sometime, which was awesome. He actually wanted to grab lunch, but it was always, well, I'm not a head coach of a Division I football team, so it's going to have to be the drive-thru at McDonald's. And that was always our thing. I know, cliche, whatever. But I liked interviewing Jim McElwain. Mike Bobo was probably close to my favorite since because I started doing the show during the McElwain era. So I was all in on CSU coverage, starting with McElwain. Then it was Bobo. Then it was Adazio. Then Norvell. And now Jim Mora. So far, I think Bobo still stands. He seemed like a good dude. And I know Coach Bruce Dick had a good relationship with that family because of his son, Drew Bobo. And he was a hell of a player. Still is a hell of a player.
I believe he's at Georgia.
I think so, yeah. I think so, yeah. Is that right?
Starting center or something.
Tight end.
Starting tight end.
Close.
I was close to both big
on offense,
athletic people.
You got the offensive thing for sure. Yeah, man. I just go back and think what could have been with Bobo. He had a really exciting offense. Not much for defense, but yeah.
Yeah, that Idaho Potato Bowl against, I don't know who they played. Not good defensively. It was like 51 to 40 something.
Why hasn't it worked out for coaches at CSU? I mean, Mike Bobo was a big name, Mike. He came over, he started his coaching career. He was a member of the football administrative staff at Georgia. Then he had 1 year as a grad assistant. Then he went to Jacksonville State as a quarterback coach. He returned to Georgia as a quarterback coach. And then he was promoted to offensive coordinator in 2007. He was a quarterback whisperer kind of guy. He worked with guys like Matt Stafford. And, I mean, he was awesome. And then so you get a guy like that who's like a top offensive mind for Georgia. You bring him over to CSU. McElwain wasn't he an OC at Alabama? So CSU, they kept trying to dip their toes into the, you know, the SEC schools. And for McElwain, it did. Like, he was pretty good. He had one season that was like, his first season was weird, kind of rough. Second was okay. And then third season was obviously amazing. And that was good enough to get him the job at Florida. I still think 1 year is pretty crazy. Like, one good year is pretty crazy for Florida to say, yeah, you're our guy. But do you say it did work out for McElwain? He had 1 year where he won 10 games, and then outside of that, nothing to write home about. But he got hired away before he could really see it through. And then Coach Bobo, if you're rating seasons, like careers, 5 seasons, 2-3 bowl years. I think he won some rivalry games, not many. They were struggling against their rivals big time. You probably put it an average career for CSU, and then Addazio, train wreck. Norvell, below average. And now we'll see what Jim Mora has to have. Has up his sleeve.
For CSU, he's a modern-day success.
McElwain or Bobo?
Bobo.
Yeah. I think people would have loved the idea of going to regular bowl games.
I mean, yeah, half the teams in college football go to bowl games now, but at least you're over 500. At least you have that extra game you can play.
Yeah. I mean, in modern day, there really hasn't been anybody other than Sonny. Has there been for CSU? Really? So what is it? Why can't they lock it up? Why can't they land guys and keep guys and make them great? Jay Norvell really just had the one good year, Mike. Jay Norvell was 3-9 his first year, 5-7, 8-5 was the good year, and that was the year they went to the Arizona Bowl and got smoked. They were 6-1 in the Mountain West Conference. That was also a weird year, though. Remember? Bunch of new coaches and injuries and weird schedule. Didn't see some of the top teams in the conference on their schedule. So, and that was, I think, the real thinking, too, behind CSU was like, okay, we won, we're doing good, but was that just because our schedule was so easy? And it turned out, the follow-up, Norvell coached in 7 games, went 2-5 and got fired in the middle of the season.
Yeah, Norvell and McElwain kind of have something in common. They got hired based off of like a good season and then didn't last
very
long.
Well, extended or whatever. Bobo got a contract extension after the 3-7 and 6 years.
That I can see. Because it's hard to recruit
Parker for that as much. And then the health thing did hit him. And I don't know if that... I have to imagine that it had to... I do... To my understanding, at the end of the road for Bobo, it was like, well, we could try this again. But the stress is going to be crazy, man. And you're going through it right now. That was my kind of understanding. Smitty texting, one of Bobo's issues is he mostly coached at Georgia. His recruiting base was only in the SEC footprint. We should have known it wasn't going to go well when his best friend left his staff after 1 season. Mike's health was also a factor. The stress of being a head coach was a lot for him. It did, it seems like it's been a journey for him. It's certainly been a road for him.
Yeah,
but he's probably collectively the most successful coach post Sonny Lubick. Am I wrong?
No, I would again stand by my he's a modern day CSU success. And yes, it is hard to get people to CSU. Like there are so many other schools with more modern wins than CSU.
Yeah, I mean it was so Sonny Lubick. After Sonny Lubick, and that was a weird ending, Steve Fairchild, like Steve Fairchild, good dude, does his quarterback camps and all that stuff, still great with, he spent time in the NFL too, but did not work for him at all for CSU. Then it was Jim McElwain, 3 seasons. Then Bobo Addazio. Yeah, Bobo's probably the best one because he 3 bowl years in a row. Rams fans would kill for 3 bowl years in a row right now, but expectations change.
Would he be as if McElwain and then Bobo were last year and this year, would Bobo be as successful? Now with the NIL and the transfer portal being crazy.
I don't know. Like, would he be better if he was a part of this new era in football? It's hard for me to say that.
See, I think with the old era, with the new era, it's just completely different. It's hard to recruit to some schools, especially when you're in the Mountain West / Neo Pac-12.
I am shocked McElwain did get the Florida job after going 10-2. Now, his first year with CSU, they were 4-8, and 3-5 in the conference. Then he was 8-6, 5-3 in the conference. They won the New Mexico Bowl. Then 10-2 and 6-2 in the conference. I don't think he coached in the... Did he coach in the Las Vegas Bowl? I don't think he coached in that. Yeah, he was done after that. Didn't Dave Baldwin take over for him? If I'm remembering it correctly. But then Florida gave him a job. He went 10-4 his first year at Florida. 9-4, and then his final year was 3-4. Look at the expectations there, man. 10-4, pretty good. 9-4, pretty good. Then he had a 3-4 season, and that was it. Then he went to Central Michigan.
So, more about McElwain. CSU was one of two Group of Five teams to have a victory over the Power Four in 2014.
Who did they beat?
I'm still looking into it, but I think they beat BC, Boston College.
Ah, okay. Interesting. Well, it's just, it kind of had me reminiscing, and then seeing Big Hub interview him, I'm going back. Like, man, that was, I always looked forward to catching up with Mike Bobo. I thought he was polite, he was cool, I liked his offense. Yeah, Smitty, Jay's only good seasons were with Carson Strong. He needed an NFL quarterback. With the QB, the air raid is just, without a QB, the air raid is just bad. Well, you could pinpoint some like obvious mistakes by all these guys, right? Jay Norvell's biggest mistake was he put all the eggs in the BFN basket. Now, there's probably a bunch of other stuff that leads to, you know, an unsuccessful season, but there are things like doubling down on BFN, and who turned out to kind of be a controversial figure for CSU. Am I wrong to say that? Because he went on and, you know, he was apparently worth $600,000, and K-State was going after him, and a lot of people wonder just how true that was. Jay Norvell obviously continued to use that in his spiels. And then there was the trash talk to Shedeur Sanders and CU and the video they did, which Romy Bean aired, even though it was done in like August, they aired it like during the Rocky Mountain Showdown week. So like Torrey Horton was talking a little junk too, and he didn't even play in that game because he was hurt. So a lot of people thought that was poor taste by Romy Bean to release it that week, because they recorded it back in August. Kind of going to look at his situation with CSU is not great, obviously.
I think that rivalry stuff, the whole, oh, my mama taught me to take off my hat and not wear glasses.
I thought that
was so overblown.
I thought it was, well, yeah, Coach Prime blew it up because he thought he was really talking about his mama. He doesn't know her. He says, hey, my mom taught me to, when I'm talking to people, you know, I take my glasses off and I take my hat off.
That's more about talking about Coach Prime.
And that's just a saying. It's a phrase. Didn't your mama teach you any better? You track mud in my house. Didn't your mom? It's not that my mom didn't. It's just I don't care. I'm tracking mud in.
Yeah, it ultimately it's about the person.
It's about you.
And I think that was more a shot across the bow.
Which I thought was
Prime.
Great. I thought it was awesome. I liked it.
Yeah, I don't. Looking back at it, it was a completely benign thing that turned into a story
Jay goes to shake hands with Coach Prime, and you could hear on their little video documentary they did, you could hear Shedeur, don't put hands on him, as they're going to shake hands. And Jay initiated and said, hey, man, for the record, I wasn't talking about your mom. It was a fun, dumb thing, right? Yes, you were. Yes, you were. And then Coach Prime walks away. Like, get over it, bro. Get over it. You don't hold grudges and all this stuff, but you do. You hold more grudges than most normal people.
If that had made the rivalry a bigger rivalry, then
I loved it.
I would have loved it.
There
but
was
like,
a part,
it didn't do anything. It
there
just
was
made
a
both
part
sides
of me
look bad.
There was a part of me that almost thought Coach Prime and Jay did talk about it before, and it was like, let's get some juice into this thing, man. Let's go. Go at me. Like, I don't know how real that is, but I wondered about it, Mike. Like, is this a fabricated thing where they kind of know each other? And no, Mike. Couldn't be further from the truth. Jay did not like Deion Sanders. And I'm guessing the feeling was mutual, which made that rivalry, Buffs fans can say, oh, that's not a little brother, whatever. That was intense. That was the most intense. And then you had the Henry Blackburn stuff, because you had the triple overtime game the year before that or whatever, or during it. I don't remember. It was the rivalry really went up a notch. I will say, Jay Norvell, that is my thank you, because as a sports host, juice is what I'm about. That's why I kind of do like Coach Prime, but I like the juice and the whole glasses, sunglasses, hat thing, the BFN thing, the Shador not shaking BFN's hand. That provided interesting. And I didn't obviously like the Henry Blackburn hit on Travis Hunter that hurt him. However, it wasn't, as Buffs fans say, that it was on purpose and just a really terrible, dirty, dirty play. He was targeting him to go hurt him. I don't believe that. It was a crazy hit. And Travis Hunter was the first one to admit it and say, guy's making a football play. What more can you say? It's unfortunate I got hurt, but he's going for the receiver. Travis Hunter was the adult and Henry Blackburn in that whole thing. But that made that rivalry so intense, Mike. That was a lot of fun. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. But Mike Bobo will probably be remembered post-Sonny Lubick at this stage as the best coach since Sonny Lubick. And that's just, now it's not a knock on Bobo, but what does that say about your program? That a guy that went 7-6, 7-6, 7-6, and then 3-4, three wins and four wins, is the best coach you've had since Sonny Lubick. That's a rough go. Bobo was ushering in the new era, too. He was here when they brought in, he coached in their first game at Canvas Stadium. So there were a lot of high hopes for him. And he as of right now, all Jim Mora has to do, though, is
have three winning seasons.
Not even that. What if they win it? What if they're the best team in the Pac-12 this year?
Then that doesn't say anything about the Pac-12.
Well, that just says that Jim Mora is the best coach since Sonny Lubick already.
Yeah,
one good year.
It would, but to me, it would be more so. Oh, this Pac-12 is so weak that a rebuilt team from a rebuilt team took the league. That would say more about the league than anything.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know. Because if you're a Rams fan, you want them to win the league. But also, what does that say about your league? Now, keep in mind, Jim Mora turned things around quickly at UConn. So,
and that's UConn, a basketball school.
And an independent, right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. We just have to see how it shakes out. Because what if these quarterbacks, one of those guys is like, he's the guy. He's the next big thing. No? Maybe?
Crossing my fingers.
Kason.
Hoping it
Ferrar. Kason Ferrar. Going to be the man.
He's going to be quick. He's the
Ferrari.
I don't
know if he's starting. I don't know. Kevin thinks it's going to be Haas Haney, but he thinks it's pretty tight.
Haas the boss?
Do you need a nickname if your name is Haas Haney?
Yes.
Do you need a nickname?
The Haney is weak. The Haas says, I'm a blue collar.
Haas Haney fits.
Throwing spirals on my farm.
Haas Haney fits, Mike. That checks out. That fits. Haney works with that. Kason Ferrar. They have the best quarterback names right now. So, looking forward to CSU. The Pac-12. We'll talk about that coming up next. 29 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe. A Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Rocky Mountain Kickoff is back. Hear the fellas every Friday at 2 and gear up for another big weekend of football. Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
In Colorado, local matters. It matters who you trust, who knows your name, and who's rooted right here in our state. I'm Sean Ostoff, president of Bank of Colorado, and we're staying grounded in the same values we've built on for generations. At Bank of Colorado, we stay true to what matters most. Local decisions, real relationships, and communities we call home. If you're ready for a bank built for Colorado and committed to it, choose Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Kate. Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Just how will the new Pac-12 look, Michael? Boise State, San Diego State, Fresno State, Utah State, Washington State, Texas State, Colorado State, and Oregon State. I got my edition of Lindy's Sports Annuals, an all-thing college football preview. Can you guess where they have, of the eight teams, where they have CSU ranked, where they're picking them to finish?
I'm going to say sixth.
Seventh.
I think that's wrong, but
ahead of Oregon State. Here's what they have to say. Quick hit. Jim Mora hit the ground running in previous stops at UCLA and UConn. However, CSU is essentially starting from scratch across all three phases. It's going to be an uphill climb, but don't be shocked to see if a Mora coached team exceed expectations. That's the thing about CSU. Like, nobody knows anything about them. We don't know. I mean, so many different dudes on this team, and a lot of the others, you know, Boise State, they got their quarterback. They got a lot of returners coming back. But San Diego State, they're going to be good. Sean Lewis. Let's look at the coaches, too. Spencer Danielson for Boise State, very good. Sean Lewis at San Diego State is 12-13 in his 2 years. Can you believe, like, look at that. That's okay, it's 500, whatever. Spencer Danielson in his 2 years is 24-8. Two plus years because he took over. Fresno State, they have former, North Dakota State coach Matt Entz. They were 9-4 in his first year last year, making the jump. He made that jump from FCS to FBS, and they were 9-4. Fresno State should be pretty good. I think Fresno State's one to watch out for. Utah State, Bronco Mendenhall. I like a lot of these coaches, man. I know you're down on the Pac-12 Conference of Champions, but I like a lot of these coaches. Bronco Mendenhall, 6-7. Last year, don't do it.
Don't do what?
Don't do it. You did it.
6-7.
Washington State, new coach, Kirby Moore. This is first year as a head coach. Texas State, they got GJ Kinney. Is it Kinney? Yeah. He played in the NFL, didn't he? Can you look that up? GJ Kinney, K-I-N-N-E. Jim Mora, first year with CSU, but in his 10 years of college coaching, 73-53, pretty good. Oregon State has a new coach as well, Jamarcus Shepherd. This is his first year coaching overall as well. So CSU's picked to fall, like Washington State and Oregon State are picked to finish kind of near the bottom of this thing. I'm guessing it's going to be Boise State's conference to lose. But Fresno State, pretty good line situation, offensive line and defensive line. They were so good at passing a few years ago, but they haven't been that potent of a team offense in a while. But they're good on their offensive line and defensive line. San Diego State, Sean Lewis, great defense. That's a big deal. They just need if they can get even just a little bit more offense, then look out for that team. Probably Boise State, though, I would say. I don't have any issues with these rankings. CSU, if you want to prove people wrong, you got to prove people wrong, right? I don't have an issue with people picking them to finish second to last. Maybe they should finish above Washington State with a new coach, but it's a new league, Mike. New league, and we're going to see what they're all about. Very, very soon. Some of the big games to watch out for in the Pac-12, as far as like non-conference stuff, Boise State at Oregon, Washington State at Washington.
Go Dawgs.
No, they're going to lose. Washington State's probably going to win by multiple scores. It's going to be a blowout. Embarrassing. James Madison at San Diego State. James Madison playoff team last year.
Yeah, but are they
going
to be consistent?
Well, I don't know, but they were a playoff team.
They were a playoff team last year.
BYU at CSU? Yikes.
BYU.
Arizona at Washington State?
Arizona.
And then you get into more of the bigger conference. They just don't think very highly of CSU. Like, once we get into the conference matchups, their big ones are Texas State at San Diego State, Utah State at Boise State, Boise State at Fresno State, Fresno State at San Diego State, Washington State at San Diego State. This is Lindy's. Fresno State at Utah State, Oregon State at Boise State, and then San Diego State at Boise State. Yeah, I mean, the it's a good and a bad. You don't know a lot about CSU, so you're not going to get anybody really picking you. And those that claim they're mad about that, whatever, this is how it is. So just be okay with it. Hope they overachieve, and hope that this thing starts off on the right foot for Jim Mora and Colorado State. 1:39 the time. We'll take a short break here, but let's get the latest first on the local sports flash.
Hey, this is Spencer Smith with DNVR Rockies, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
That's a good tune, Mike. Good job. Is that on the playlist?
Yes, it is.
Did I put that there?
I did.
Oh, you did. Wow. Really?
I put all of the good songs in your playlist I put in, and all of the bad songs on your playlist someone else put in.
You know, when you start doing that, you know, all I hear is just Dungeons and Dragons. That's all I hear. That's all I hear.
What's a good movie, Dungeons and Dragons?
It's a video game, Mike.
It's a movie.
I think you're thinking of something
made an
different.
Adaptation.
I think you're thinking of something different. Isn't it like a nerdy board? It's a board thing. It's a board game.
I believe it's called Tabletop.
It's a tabletop game. It's not a movie.
And you can learn more about it by watching Stranger Things.
You're confusing yourself. I'm just a little worried about you. That's a table game, not a movie.
Movie.
I need to hear you say it. It's a movie? So they created it. They based the movie off of it? Is that what you're telling me? Wow. It's that good, huh?
It stars Sophia Lillis,
I don't know what that is.
Pine, Daisy Head, Michelle Rodriguez, amongst others. Oh, Bradley Cooper was also in it.
The raccoon?
Yeah, he also played the raccoon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hugh Grant was in it as well.
You watched the movie?
I did. It's a good movie.
Well, it's probably like medieval kind of stuff, so I might like it. Actually, we kind of might like it.
I think you'd like it. It's got enough comedy to make a lot of people
laugh. Did I tell you my next door neighbor, love him, Les, great guy, older gentleman.
You love him, Les.
He asked me, his son, who's like my age, probably older, he's into the tabletop stuff. He's into that. So he like makes, my neighbor will make boards and tables and do all that stuff, and it's elaborate.
Is he a Warhammer 4000?
I don't know. Do you think I asked that question? Do you think I followed up with, oh, is he into the Warhammer? I don't know what that is. But you know what my wife says to me? As much crap as I give you about being a ridiculous nerd, you know what my wife says to me? She's like, well, you got to go over and play sometime. And I told her, I said, Brittany, as much crap as I give Michael about playing board top games, and he goes, I don't actually play them.
I don't.
If you ever found out that I went over and played a game like that, it would be the end of me. I told my wife, I said, no, there's no way I can do that. Even if they invite me, I have to kindly turn it down. I have to kindly decline. Because as much crap as I, if you found out I was doing that, how much crap would you give me?
Not a lot.
You would too.
No, I wouldn't.
Don't
I would just
do
say,
that.
I'm glad you enjoy that.
No.
It's not for me.
You wouldn't do that. You know you wouldn't. Stop lying.
I watched some people play Warhammer.
You would never.
It was not
let
fun
me
for me.
You would never not let me hear the end of it. It'd be nonstop. You said, Chris, he makes ping pong tables? No, like tables that you play the board game stuff on. And they create.
So he's like Ron Swanson.
I guess. And they create like these elaborate scenes and stuff on them.
Yeah, I have no problem with people doing that. I just.
I don't have a problem with it. It's not my thing. I just like to make fun of you for everything. Fair?
I guess. Like you make fun of me for stuff that you haven't listened to.
I've listened to your music.
My metal.
I've listened to your
music. You'd like some of it.
You made me, this is going to sound really dumb, you made me a mixed CD once. Don't lie. You made it for me, bro, and I listened to it. I'm like, this is weird. You made it.
Was it your idea? I feel like it was your idea.
I said, oh, I'll listen to some of your music. And I was young at the time and impressionable. And I'm like, I better kiss up to this guy. He's clearly a difference maker around here. Boy, was I wrong. And you made me a mix CD and said, here you go. And I listened to it.
You're making it sound like I was trying to do something else to you, Brady. First of all, high school.
They were all love songs. It was weird. You know, I was emotional driving home. But
I feel like there was probably a lot of melodic metal.
That's what it was.
Because I was really into Nightwish.
But I listened to it. Leaves Eyes.
Oh, yeah, Leaves Eyes. They got
a
good song.
How would I know that if you didn't make me a mixtape?
That's true. I must have. I'll play some Leaves Eyes tomorrow.
No. You just accused me of not listening to your crappy music, and I'm telling you, I have listened to your crappy music. So when I make fun of you for it, it's warranted. So.
I'm betting that you did not listen to it.
Yes.
And you.
I did. I tried. I'm like, oh, this is kind of good. Wow. No, this is like vampires and Dungeons and Dragons running around and weird stuff. Witches.
I mean, like, Leaves Eyes is also pretty nerdy.
Witchcraft is what it was, Mike. You tried to witchcraft. You tried to bewitch me, and I would not allow it. 150 the time. We'll take a quick break. What did we learn? This is what. Yes. This is the crap.
We got to go.
I'm listening to this. That's what we had. That's what he gave me.
Football, volleyball, and all the preps fall sports you can handle. Listen to Coach Speak weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
This is Cody Tucker with 7220sports.com, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
What did we learn today, Michael? We learned that we blew the clock. We need to be better at time management. That is a production issue.
I'm sorry that you don't like Lee's eyes.
Like, okay, I can't get into it. We'll be back at it on Friday because it's kind of a semi-football Friday. Broncos playing in a preseason game tomorrow. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.